Hey guys, welcome to the very first episode of season 4. I am so excited this time has come, talking about church hurt, how to heal, and how to deal with Hope Martin. And she brings so much wisdom and so much insight to this topic. So I hope you enjoy it. Grab your Bible, grab your coffee, grab your notes, and let's dive in. Disclaimer, the audio is a little wonky, still working that out. Please forgive me. But yeah, without further ado.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about church hurt and how to deal, how to heal, community, stuff like that. I feel like nowadays, I don't know, I've been through it, like, and so I just wanted to be the first episode, you know, like, talk about just what that looks like, all the aspects of it. And so before we get started, I want to define what it is and what it isn't. So I got the definition from a trusted source. But church hurt is when pain or physical or emotional results from an action or decisions associated with someone in the church. And so this isn't like you say something or like they tell you to do something and you're like, I didn't get my way. That's not what church hurt. This is a deep-rooted thing. And so, yeah, so let's hear your story. So what is your story?
Yeah, well, my story with church hurt, I actually, unfortunately, have a couple instances where I've been hurt by the church or the people of the church. But there's a specific instance that I'll focus on for this message. But so throughout high school, I was involved in a ministry organization, and I was involved 4 years as a student. And then once I graduated, I did like 2 years as a leader, volunteer. And this organization was basically like my personality. Everyone just knew how much I was involved, and I really loved people there, and I made relationships. You know, I knew these leaders for 6 years. But unfortunately, there was a summer where I fell into sin, and the enemy just really attacked me. And when this sin was brought to light, you know, I brought it to my leaders, and they responded in a mature fashion, but unfortunately, they did ask me to step away from the ministry, at least as a leader, and at least for some time. You know, they didn't put a time limit on it, but their reaction was hurtful to me. I really try to understand where they were coming from. You know, obviously, we don't want our leaders who are around, you know, high school kids to be like actively sinning and influencing that. Yeah. So I totally see where they were coming from. But I think that from my perspective, as someone who had been with them for 6 years, and then I fall, for them to almost reject me or almost say, we don't want your name with this, or we don't want you here with us, that hurt me. And I walked away from that. And that whole summer, I battled with deep, deep depression. I had never felt so alone and so rejected. And so, well, we can go more into that for sure. Yeah, it was hard.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, my story, yeah, I think how the church structured back home, like it was like that. You did something wrong and it's like, oh, we just, bye. We don't
right.
want you anymore.
Right.
When we look at what Paul talks about, you know, Paul, if there's anyone who standed for, like, order and, like, just grace, it was him. And the way
yes.
that he dealt with, like, and, you know, issues in the church and order and all of that stuff, like, but yeah, I dealt with that too. Like, you know, I left because I just saw some things and I was the things that I was into. Like, yeah, this isn't how we're supposed to love people. Like,
yeah.
If we're called to be the church, we're called to help those that are, you know, actively sinning, or if we have a leader that's sinning or is, you know, some type of issue there, like, we're supposed to help them, not leave them high and dry.
Exactly, exactly.
And I questioned that a lot, and I just kept going on because I'm like, okay, well, if I do, like, you know, but then I look back and I'm like, actually, that's not church-like. That's not, we're supposed to build each other up. We're not supposed to kick each other high and dry.
Yeah. Totally.
So how did you deal with that? How did you deal with kind of the situation of just being kind of left high and dry, like,
yeah. Well, I was angry. I was angry that I had put 6 years of my life into this ministry,
yeah.
and that all of a sudden They really don't want anything to do with me. Mm-hmm. I felt betrayed, and I just felt like this sin had caused them to not want me anymore. And that was hard. So I distanced myself, you know, I isolated myself. And I think a lot of times isolation is not a great idea. You know, you always want to be surrounded by support. But I think isolation from the issue can be so healthy, and it is healthy. So I distanced myself from the organization. I naturally distanced myself from any of the people that were involved because they asked me to not contact really the students at all. It was a mess. So I distanced myself and I isolated myself, and I stayed with people around people who loved me even in my sin, didn't look at me any differently. And I sat in that for a summer. I just sat. And I went through every emotion, like hurt, pain, anger, betrayal. And I just sat in it. And it was a horrible, horrible summer. Mm-hmm. I just don't remember ever like enjoying myself that summer. I was so depressed. Yeah. And I felt so defined by my sin. Yeah. But I think over time I healed. And I was able to pour into Jesus rather than pour into the people. And I was able to focus on what Jesus had to say about my sin and what Jesus had to say about the situation. And so I came out of it healed, and I completely understand where they were coming from. Mm-hmm. I, you know, studying ministry and going into like the structures of a church, yeah. I completely understand like boundaries. Mm-hmm. And we have students' lives being influenced, like 100%. Yeah. But I think there can be such a great boundary between removing someone from leadership temporarily, but pouring into them and walking them through the steps of like repentance and growth through that sin. So yeah, personally, I sat in it and I sought the Lord in it. And after some time, I healed from that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Because one thing we don't want to do is we don't want to ignore it. We want to process, because that's what I had to learn. I had to process, because I'm very much a person that will hide it.
Yeah.
And just stuff it down and just keep going. But this was something that I had to process, because this was my family. I was at the church for like 5-6 years
with
you. So like it hurt really bad. Mm. And so with me, like therapy helped, and kind of unwinding kind of the toxicity, if you will.
100%.
And so yeah, that's
I think good. Talking about it is so good, because I too internalize things and I overthink, and so one thing leads to another and another and another. Yeah. And so having those confidants in your life that no matter what sin you do, they won't look at you differently, mm-hmm. but you can still pursue them in conversation and in relationship. Those people are so important. Even if you have 1, 2, or 3, that is truly so important.
Yeah. What are some steps that took you to, you know, remove yourself, like you said, you probably said earlier, but like heal and really grow, keyword healing, because I think sometimes we rush the healing process, or we just kind of think that we're healed, but then we're like, oh, right, I'm not healed. So like, what steps did you take?
I was basically forced into isolation as they asked me to be removed from not just the organization, but people, you know, all the students I had a relationship with, or even my fellow leaders, you know, I just was naturally, you know, distanced from them. And so at the time there was rumors going around, there was, you know, the talk, you know, our flesh talks. And so I definitely had to protect myself from that. And so I did remove a lot of the people. I actually think I removed everyone, including the organization, off of all social media. Mm-hmm. I did this as a protection from me, because I think I would heal every day a little bit, but then I'd open Instagram and see another event they're having, and I'd take 10 steps back.
Right, yeah.
And so I just wanted to like take step forwards and keep going. And so I just removed everything and everyone that was associated with this hurt from my perspective.
Yeah.
Like I just cleaned it out, and it hurt because a lot of them were my friends and leaders for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But it was essential for my healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I again, like this isolation, I, even though it was low-key forced, I really benefited from it because I was stuck in my house supported by people who felt angry for me and who were hurting for me. And that was so refreshing because I feel like a lot of times in church hurt, you can feel so alone. You can feel like, why is no one else feeling this way? Or why did this happen to me?
Or you're crazy. Or
yes. Am I reading into this? Yeah. Right. So having those people that see it the way you see it, it really helped me heal a lot. And, you know, of course, seeking the Lord. I think that sadly, church hurt can lead to a separation with God. And that's the last thing I wanted, because I knew in my deepest soul that this wasn't church of, or this wasn't hurt from the Lord. This was hurt from people. Yeah. And so I sought the Lord in this. You know, I repented. You know, I didn't ignore that I was in a way in wrong. But the Lord really just put peace in my heart that normally I wouldn't have in a situation like this. So really, I sought the Lord.
That's key, like seeking the Lord, not healing, if that will, like maybe, you know, distancing yourself. That's what I did. I had to delete. It's not easy. It's painful. It hurts. Especially when you've done life with these people and you've put all your time and energy. But yeah, removing yourself slowly and seeking the Lord. Cause yeah, some people do fall away, unfortunately, from church hurt, cause it's so deeply rooted, but just continuing to get in the Word and let the Word, you know, heal you too as well.
Yes.
Is there something that you've learned during that season or that time of your life, or what some things that you've learned?
Yes. I think personally I really learned how the structure of ministry works. You know, I think that as a student in youth group for 4 years, 5 years, you don't realize how structured it is and how intentional every decision is.
Yeah.
And so seeing this side of it where I'm sat down with leaders as another leader and, you know, they asked me to remove myself, I think I was blown away that it was that structured, that it wasn't just everyone come, like, it's okay. And so I do, like, you know, Paul was a fan of structure, and I think structure is so beneficial. We need it. But I think this situation really taught me where it can be hurtful, for sure. And then the rejection part of it really taught me how to forgive myself before people forgave me. You know, as I'm a people pleaser, I want all my friends who heard of this situation, I want to be able to explain myself. I want to allow them to know my heart in it, and I want them to forgive me.
Yeah.
But in this situation, I wasn't able to receive that at all. I knew rumors were going around, and I knew that these people I called my friends suddenly thought so different of me. You know, they heard the situation from another person, and they just assumed that's the truth. And I know that my character wasn't defended, and no one reached out, and no one tried to understand my side or if I was even okay. So I really learned that people will fail you over and over again. I give these people grace because I know that our flesh is so, like, weak, and I know that I have been fault of, like, hearing gossip, and I, of course you believe it, right? I really learned that people will fail me. Even the people I think are my friends, even the people I think are really good in their faith and, like, know the Lord, they will still fail you because we are human and it's human nature. So I had to go through the process of forgiving myself without being able to defend my name, without being able to get forgiveness from others or set the record straight. And so that was really hard, but I did it.
The biggest thing that hurt me in this season was, like, nobody reached out.
Yes.
They kind of put this, like, I'm hurting, like, you know, something's not right, but, like, no one reached out. And so,
right.
But one of the things is, like, people will fail you. You know,
yep.
No one's perfect.
Yep. Jesus.
And so, you know, But that's not an excuse to dismiss what they've done.
Right.
It's just like, okay, going into this, you might get hurt. And that's yeah. sad, you know? But yeah, that's something to keep in mind. And then also, like, part of your healing journey, too.
Definitely.
What do you think is the healthiest way to deal with church or hurt or to process it?
Yeah. Well, I think that talking about it is huge. And I think I love that you chose this topic for the podcast, because internalizing things and sitting on them
yeah.
will lead to an unhealthy isolation. It will lead to resentment towards the Lord
yeah.
rather than where it should be, maybe like on people. Obviously, you shouldn't have resentment, but, you know, blame could be misplaced. Mm-hmm. So I think that talking to trusted sources, again, like I said, who will never look at you differently
mm-hmm.
and will understand you and fight for you.
Yeah.
That is so, so, so important. And I think more than leaning on people, you must lean on God.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel really sad for people who struggle with church hurt, mm-hmm. who walk away from the Lord in that time,
yeah.
because I don't know how you would heal properly without the Lord,
yeah.
especially being church related.
Yeah.
So my number one thing, the healthiest way to deal with it, is you need to seek the Lord. You need to be in prayer. You need to be on your knees.
Yeah.
And I think that it's not like a prayer of like fix this, Lord, like I need you. It's like, God, I don't know what to do. I'm in pain. I'm suffering.
Yeah.
Help me see what you're seeing. Like
mm-hmm.
it's a prayer of humility.
Yeah.
So the Lord can just like come into the cracks of the situation and redeem it. And redeeming it may not mean, you know, that person goes back to the church and everything goes back to normal.
Right.
It could mean allowing that person to heal and walk away with some knowledge
mm-hmm.
and some maturity in how to move forward. Right. So I just think talking to God, talking to people, and taking time, it's not a quick process,
no.
you know. Everyone's different. It could be, for me, it was a summer, I would say, but it could take years.
Yeah.
Deep,
yeah.
deep rooted hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't put a timeline on it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't rush it.
Yeah.
I think it's healthy to sit in it.
Yeah.
Accept it. Sit in that pain. Understand that pain
mm-hmm.
and bring that pain to the Lord.
Yeah, I think that's good. Bringing that pain to the Lord, because, again, I feel like my personality, but I don't know if you or anyone, like, we just hold it in.
Definitely.
We don't have to give
yeah.
the Lord our burdens.
Yep.
And something like this is something like you said, get on your knees and just like, Lord, like, here it is. You know, I think that's important. And I think that's just the greatest thing
yeah.
you could do. And then obviously if it's something deeper, it's then going to therapy and,
yes.
and getting help and seeking counsel and that.
Yes.
But number one is just going straight to the Lord.
Definitely.
There's nothing like His healing, there's nothing like his soothingness that he
yes.
brings, and
exactly.
the healing I bring, so.
Exactly.
That was really good.
Thank you.
So how can we grow from this? Like,
yeah.
how can we grow from church hurt, the pain, like, how can we move forward in this?
Yeah. Well, I think that we can grow from this by acknowledging church hurt is real.
Yeah.
You know, let's walk forward acknowledging that this is not a one person in a church is facing this. This is people are walking every day. Maybe they don't know they've been hurt by the church and it's coming off as something else, but I think we should talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, let's acknowledge this is common. This is real.
Yeah.
And that there's a way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in all the end, this defines you, you know?
Yeah.
So, let's acknowledge it. And then, let's not let it define us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's accept that it's happened or that it can happen.
Yeah.
But then let's say, okay, I'm not going to let this be my story.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let this be who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to choose to heal in whatever way or time it takes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think that church hurt is a hindrance on what God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord does not want us to be in pain.
Mm-hmm.
He definitely doesn't want his own people to hurt His people, you know,
yeah.
he wants church to be a sanctuary,
yeah.
a place where you feel home and safe. And so in no way is he delighted by this
yeah.
at all. And so I think that we should not allow this church hurt to hinder us, mm-hmm. hinder the call that the Lord has put on our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I had to learn too, because it hurt, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to work in a church. I actually don't want to do anything church related. I just want to do something else.
Yeah.
But I was just reminded of, like, my calling and what God's called me to.
Yep.
And that, you know, I can use that experience of what, you know, what I went through to help somebody else.
100%.
And so I think part of kind of the church and toxicity is, like, sometimes we treat church like a business. And that's
yes.
where I came from. It was treated more like a business than an actual, a church, a body. And Paul talks about that too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I don't know. This isn't in the question. This just popped in my head.
I love it.
What do you, I don't know, like, I just feel like that's where is when we don't treat it like a sanctuary, like
we're
coming and hurting people.
Like, yeah.
We're coming and we're, I don't know. I saw that a lot in my old church, just business focus rather than people.
That's definitely like increasing. I'm seeing in the modern churches, these bigger churches. I think a big church, there's something so special about that. Like if you're, like, the more people in the door, the better. Like, are you kidding me? You're reaching all those souls. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
But I think that I've seen a lot, you know, the business aspect and the focus on business.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so, so important to church hop for a little bit. Like, I'm not saying, like, church hop for a year. I'm saying look in your local churches,
mm-hmm.
go to a Sunday,
yeah.
and, like, go in with a heart of, like, openness,
mm-hmm.
ready to receive, mm-hmm. but discernment as well.
Yeah.
Let the Lord lead you in discernment. Like, is this where you want me, Lord? Is this healthy? Is this safe for my spiritual life? And I think that if you really, like, you really can't know a church from one Sunday, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
But I think where you can really see the fruits of the church is in their leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the leaders. Are they people that have a healthy spiritual life? Like, what are their fruits that they're then pouring out onto the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think discernment is the biggest thing.
And also, like, the community should look different. Like, if you've been in church there for, like, years and years and years, your community should look different.
Yeah.
Like, not just people in your church,
right.
but the community. And that's something that was always, like, in the back of my mind. The community looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's, the pastors here, they're, mm-hmm. they have these beautiful lives, but the community's hurting. And so, mm-hmm. like, making sure, like, okay, what does the community look like around it? Because is it changing or is it just the same thing?
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's such a good point.
Yeah. What did community look like for you in this time? Was it healthy? Like you said, you talked about distancing yourself. If, what did that look like for you?
Yeah. I would say my family was the biggest support.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a good chunk of my friends were involved in this ministry that I was, you know, removed from.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pretty alone. But she just said, I'm sorry. She's so cute. That's okay. So I remember, you know, my dad and my mom and my brothers, you know, got light of what had happened and what was going on, and they felt angry for me,
mm-hmm.
and they supported me, and they didn't look at me differently at all, even though I felt so ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember that in my own home, mm-hmm. I felt not judged.
Yeah.
And the second I walked out the door, I felt judged.
Mm-hmm.
But in my home, I didn't. And that was so essential.
Yeah.
That was so essential to my healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just my family. You know, in times like this, I think community is really important. I do wish I had a friend or two there.
Yeah.
But actually, this summer that it happened, coincidence or not, well, obviously, the Lord is so intentional, but this is the summer I actually met my fiancé.
Oh.
And so when I met my fiancé, I was actually in the midst of this hurt. Like,
yeah.
I remember it was one of our first conversations, and I just was like, I'm hurting, like, I'm going through this, I'm in it,
yeah.
and he was that person in my life that just, like, reminded me to laugh again, and reminded me that the Lord is so good,
yeah, yeah.
regardless of this hurt I'm feeling,
yeah.
And so I think the Lord was just so intentional in that community, even though it didn't look exactly how, you know, of course you want all your friends to reach out. You want everyone to pour in, but it's your family.
What happens, you know, talk to someone who maybe doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Their family is actually in the church and they don't see, you know, the hurt that they've caused. Like how can they go about that and finding community to help them through it and guide them through?
Yeah, definitely. Well, if someone, like if you're having church hurt, but you have some really close members within the church, I, you know, wouldn't be against reaching out to them and like maybe outside of the church meeting with them and just being honest and vulnerable. You know, my hope is that if you consider them family, they would support you and help you like heal and walk through this and hear you out. But if you're not able to reach anyone within the church and you know that's where your support system was, I think that you're not defined to one church. You know, I know it takes time to really feel at home in a church, but I think that the Lord desires that wherever you walk in, whatever doors they are of a church, that you should be able to find someone to seek and to reach and to be heard. And so Christians, reach out to Christians, reach out to people in the community that you know the Lord.
You've been through what you've been through.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, and we live in a digital age. You could probably find somebody on Instagram who's
definitely
similar in DMs.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. That's such a good point. I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I was like, so how do we not isolate ourselves from experiencing church hurt when been hurt by the church? I know for me, like, I knew that I couldn't isolate myself. I had to get help. I had to process this because I'm an internal processor.
Right.
And so, like, everything is just internal, but I had to learn how to, like, not process this in my head and talk to someone and write it out and do these things.
Yep.
How do you not isolate yourself in this?
Like, yeah.
When you want to isolate yourself.
Definitely.
Or you've been forced to isolate
yourself. Right. Or something. Well, I think number one, you have to understand that that's what the enemy wants. The enemy would love for you to be isolated and away from anyone who knows the Lord, anyone who's going to lift you up and God himself, right? When you're alone in your room, you are easy access for the enemy, right? You don't have anyone being, you know, pouring into you. You don't have the word open. You're not connected with God. And so you're a target and you're letting the enemy win if you stay isolated. And so I think picking up your cross in this scenario is going against that and saying, even though you're ashamed or you want to be alone or you want to deal with this yourself, you know, all those flesh things, you got to pick up your cross and you got to reach out and you got to talk about it. You got to get help, whatever that looks like for you. Journal, like journaling, you're not alone. You're seeking the Lord in that for sure. I used to journal so much. I have like 20 journals. I mean, I can't wait to, like, I want to give them to my daughter. Like, want her to read them back. Because journaling is such a intimate time with the Lord. It's prayer on a paper. That's what it is. And so just pick up your cross and know that staying in isolation makes you a target for the enemy and that putting time into healing and talking about it gives the opportunity for you to glorify the Lord through this process.
And it's also okay to get outside help too.
Yes. Yes.
And to not feel like you have to go straight to the church or maybe church people, but you cannot get outside help. To help you kind of process it and just kind of deal with it more mentally, maybe spiritually if they are, you know, a Christian counselor.
Yeah.
But, that was really good.
I think deconstructing it would be huge.
Yeah.
If it's really deep hurt, like it's been ongoing, you know, or multiple times, like through different churches, like you gotta deconstruct that. You gotta work through that, and that's where professional help would probably, you know, really help. And allowing a person to come into that situation and walk you through that process.
What helped you the most with your experience with church hurt? What was like the number one thing that just helped you through it?
Surprisingly enough, in the office conversation I had with my leaders when, you know, I confessed my sins and they asked me to walk away, I remember one thing that one of the leaders said to me, and he said that God loves me just as much in my sin as he does on my perfect day. And in the moment when I heard this, I kind of like was like, okay, like I'm really like hurt right now. Like, I don't even know what you just said. But I walk out of there and that rained so true. And oh, I wonder if that picked up. It just rained so true throughout the whole summer. Like, even though I was so hurt, like his words were so true that regardless of what people were saying, regardless of how the situation went down, regardless of how my flesh felt, I knew that the Lord loved me regardless of what I had done. In that moment that I chose my flesh over my spirit, God still loved me. And just, I think it's one thing to say that, but to like define yourself with that, like walk in that, gives you so much power. So much power.
And to know that the Lord, when you're hurting, he feels that and he wants to be right there with you.
Yes.
And so just, it's one thing, again, you know, to know it, but to walk in it is different. It empowers you. It's like, okay, my God, he's here with me.
Yes.
You know, even though I'm going through this pain and it hurts, I mean, I have friends, like, but I know the Lord is with me. And that's something that I learned is like, he's always been there.
Yeah.
You know, even in this hurting time that sucks. And I don't have a lot of friends because a lot of my friends were in the church.
Right.
He's been there.
Yeah.
And I think that's just what comforted me the most is that he's with me in the pain.
He's our friend. He's our father. He's everything we'll ever need.
Yeah, everything you ever need.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice or encouragement for someone who's been through it or actively going through it? What's some advice or encouragement you could give to them?
Yeah. Well, I would just say you're not alone. Mm-hmm. You know, even if none of your friends or whoever you're surrounding yourself with is not experiencing this or has never experienced it, that doesn't invalidate you at all. You know, there's, this is so common actually. Maybe it's just not talked about. And so you're not alone, and that your pain is real, and like your heavy heart that you feel is so real and so valid. Don't blame God. That's what I would say. I think that's our, that's where we go. You get hurt by the church and you're angry at God. You blame him. And I'm telling you, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy desires you to blame the Lord. And just don't. I think if you have anger towards the Lord, bring that to him. Mm-hmm. Lord, I'm angry. I don't know. I don't understand why you did this. I don't understand how you let this happen. Mm-hmm. Why did you put me here? Yeah. You know, why are you letting me suffer? I think there's so much power in that prayer. And the Lord will see that. And the Lord will respond to that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, don't back away from the church altogether. I think, moving around or isolating yourself can be healthy. Mm-hmm. But your roots are with the Lord. And you got to stay there.
Yeah.
You back away and you're going to lose connection with the Lord. And then your healing process is not going to go anywhere.
I'm like, but it goes back to what you said before, just like not leaving the Lord, like when you're going through especially something like this, like to be at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Like, saying, Lord, I need you. I'm hurting. I need help. Like, I can't do this alone. I think that's a big thing because people do walk away. That's church hurt, like, oh, I'm done. I don't want to worship God. I don't want to believe in God. I want to keep doing my own thing. And the enemy loves that. Mm-hmm. So there's one thing to kind of get people from that is to tell them that. The enemy, he loves that.
Yeah.
But to just press in even more in those moments, like when you just, you're hurting. You know, and maybe you don't have supportive people around you. But the Lord is, he's there. And he's
definitely
there to support you and in his word. And he's there to encourage you. He's there to lift you up. And just, I love that. Do you have anything else for us? Do you have any last remarks?
Maybe? Yeah. Well, while I was, thinking about this topic for church hurt, I was really thinking of, like, examples of church hurt. Where do people feel it most, like, common? You know, where do we see this? Mm-hmm. And I just want to emphasize that, your identity needs to be in the Lord mm-hmm. and not in a church or not in a location or not in a group of people.
Yeah.
Your identity foundation needs to be Jesus Christ, and that's it. And then from there, when you have that solid foundation, you can build fruits. You can serve at this church and you can pour into this ministry. But if you don't have that foundation, when the church hurts you, when people hurt you, which they will because we are human nature, when they hurt you, you will be able to see that that's people and that's flesh, but that's not the Lord. But if you have your definition and your identity in a church location or a specific people, you are so likely to be targeted. And when you're hurt, of course you're going to blame the church. Of course you're going to blame the people. And of course you're going to blame God. And so you got to stay rooted in who you are first. Number one, we're called to God, and then we're called to the church. For sure.
I think that's something I learned, because at this church, it was like, you're called to me. You're called to the ministry.
Mm.
But I had to relearn things and know I'm called to the Lord first.
Yes.
To your ministry or to your agenda. And I think that's too, just looking out for those signs. Like, that's another question. What are some signs to look out for?
Yeah.
In kind of an unhealthy church environment that may lead to hurt
in the future? What are some? Yeah. Well, actually, I remember asking, I think Professor Valerie this in our class, and he made the great point. You got to look at the fruits of the church, and you even mentioned it. What does the community look like outside of the church? You know, what fruits is the church producing? Is the church producing people that are going out and taking the gospel with them, or is it producing fruit that is hindrance and shyness and judgment? You know, you got to look at the fruits of the church because that's how you detect where the Spirit is and, you know, where God is. Mm-hmm. And I think that churches a lot of times have the right heart, but are unfortunately misguided or can become misguided or lose focus of the mission of the church.
Yeah.
And so you got to pray for discernment and you got to look at the fruits, the people, the community, for sure.
That's good. I think I was following this girl who went to the same church, and she was on staff and she was hurt, and one of the things that they did was like they just dropped you, like they left you high and dry. And I was like wondering where she went, and then I found her where she talks about just church hurt and like how to deal with it. And one of the things she was saying when we talk about looking at church's fruit is like their Instagram, and like if their Instagram is just of like one person, just their pastor, then something's not right.
I agree.
What's going on? And so that's something too to look at too. Is like, who are they about? Like, what's their vision? What's their mission?
Right.
Because our mission should be people, not ourselves.
Exactly.
And so, I think that's another, you know, telltale sign of like, maybe this isn't the right church for us.
I totally agree.
Yeah. And then we also could pray for those churches that aren't.
Yes.
That have gotten misguided. I mean, genuinely, they don't go in and go, I'm going to hurt people.
Right.
But like, they get misguided. Or it becomes more about doing than actually just like being a disciple. You know, stuff like
for
that.
For sure.
So, do you have anything else for us?
Yeah, I mean, going off what you said with the pastors being seen, I think social media has really benefited the church in so many ways. Don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh. Like, we are reaching souls across nations now because of social media. But I think that it also has given the church an opportunity to feel the desire to be seen selfishly.
Yeah.
And, like, I see, you know, we all know the famous pastors and like, and I love that. I think that's so cool because you know what? Those 10-second reels, someone's going to get that and someone's going to feel the Spirit, and hopefully it brings them to the church, right? And they're not just receiving on Instagram. But I think that in a way it has led to pastors wanting to be seen. And I don't think that reflects the Lord at all. I don't think it's about us at all,
I'm reading Corinthians, which is like the peak of just like church chaos, really. And Paul is trying to deal with this, And you see that, like, pastors or, you know, the church leaders that are trying to be about themselves.
Right.
And Paul's quick to be like, no, that's not what this is about. Mm-hmm. And I love Paul. Like, he's just, if I could sit with him, he's like, ah.
I like the parts of the Bible where they just make it so clear, like, the right and wrong. It's like, no, this is not what the churches should be like.
He was quick to just, like, correct, but also not in a demeaning way.
Right.
But in a gentle, gracious way.
Yeah.
In an alert way. Like, hey, like, this is not the way of the Lord.
Yeah.
This is not how we're supposed to do things. And it is sad, you know, you see, it's like, it's not about you.
Yeah.
Like, and we're getting in this age where, like, it's just, everybody's for themselves. We have this influencer culture now.
Yes.
It's like, we're all just here. And so,
right. Look at me.
Yeah.
It should be look at God.
Yeah.
Right.
Which hurts people more, because when you say look at me, you're not meeting their needs. You're
right.
You're not being the church, which is what we're called to do.
And so you're becoming their God, you know, and.
Which is what we don't want.
Right, that's want idolization.
But this was a really good conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
I really enjoyed getting to talk about such a topic that I feel like a lot of people shy away from.
Yes.
Or just don't talk about it
because right.
no one else wants to talk about it.
Right, right.
But thank you, Hope, for just being willing and being open and vulnerable to your story and what you've been through and what you've some things you've learned, challenges you've gone through. It's clear that it's molded you and it's shaped you into something beautiful, and you're so pretty.
Thank you. You're so sweet.
just your spirit is really
thank you so much. I appreciate your confidence in taking a subject and reaching out and saying, I want to do this.
Yeah, I think of, like, have you watched Jackie Hill Perry?
Yes. I love, oh my gosh. Yes. Are you kidding me?
She's just like, she doesn't care. She's just very bold. She's like, I'm going to say it. And I think.
Well, we need the truth.
We need it. We can't keep just feeding, you know, baby food. We can't
keep just watering it down.
We have to be bold with the truth.
I totally agree.
Christ has called us to be. Christ was born. The guy was flipping tables. He was just very bold.
Yes.
Like, and I think that's something we have to be when it comes to topics like these, are just things that we see in the church. You know? We're always going to have people that, you know, haters, that. But just to, I know the truth. I know what the Bible says. So that's something cool.
I love that.
But yeah, it's been a joy having you.
Thank you so much.
You know, listening and maybe viewing this video is good. But do you want to pray us out?
For sure. Thank you so much. Lord, I just thank you so, so much for allowing us to be here today to just speak about you and to glorify you, Lord. I pray for anyone who's listening to this or watching this. Lord, I pray that you reach them through the screen, Lord, that your spirit is just resembling who you are, Lord, and that they feel your spirit, Lord. I pray for any church hurt that anyone is dealing with, Lord, that you just enter it. And that you redeem their story, Lord, and that you help them heal, Lord, so that they can pursue you wholeheartedly and with confidence, Lord. Thank you again for this opportunity to just talk about you, Lord, and to share what you have called us to share. Thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yay.
Thanks for checking out this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you loved it. Be sure to follow the podcast GeorgiaJoy_podcast on Instagram for more updates, more insights, and just more Georgia Joy. Also, we have a YouTube, so that is where all the video segments of the podcast will be. So go check that out.